have six plus one.
Half plus, six, which is half, that's plus one. So six is quorum.
Okay.
Okay.
Half, we have 11, so half of that is five and a half, so.
Five and a half.
Five and a half.
That's why six are happy.
I could do a half.
Sam's a half. Tiny little thing.
So six.
Well, great. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming in today. Let's go ahead and take a quick roll call if we could, please.
West Salem Redevelopment Advisory Board, March 4th, 2020. Jeff Miller.
Yep.
Nicholas Bondog-Winn.
Here.
Brandon Solomon. Not present. Kathy Goss, not present. John Hannum, excused. Elena Hedick, excused. Dwayne Hilty, not present. Tim Carr.
Here.
Mark May.
Here.
Mike Pennington.
Here.
Samantha Ross.
Here.
I gotta call back to Brandon.
Brandon Solomon.
Here.
Yeah.
Now, he's here.
Made it just in time. Thank you. Good morning, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good, thank you. Everyone have a chance to look over the agenda and any approvals, deletions, anything?
I move to approve the agenda. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Awesome. Everyone have an opportunity to look through the minutes, the one page of bullet point?
I move to approve the minutes.
I'll second. Tim Clark.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Perfect. Public comment. Yay, we have a full house today. This is great. We've never had this many people here. More people away from the table than at the table. Awesome. Anybody would like to say anything? Public comment of any kind? No? No? All right, well, welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming. Moving forward, action items, which you don't have. We do have fiscal budget. Yep, Tori.
Yep. So I'll start it out, and then we'll turn it over to the plan. This is some background. So we start the calendar year talking about budget-related items because it follows the sequence of the city. So we typically, January falls around the first of the year, so it's common for us to skip that meeting given the holiday. And then as we get into February is when we start our budget conversations, which we did last month. And then now, today is presented as an action item. Because then it'll follow the rest of the city process so that your recommendation will go into that broader packet. Everything has to be concluded by June so the city can continue to operate. You can track that too, by the way. So, we have this meeting, which is public, and then as it gets into the city process, there's a budget committee made up of people from the community as well as city council, and that you can attend those meetings, they're public meetings. And then as you get to closer to June, May timeframe, budget items go to council. So you can either stay home, watch it on Facebook, or attend meetings there too, City Hall. So that's the process. So that's why we, at the beginning of the calendar year, start the conversation. As far as background on some of the things that we talked about, they're not new items. We talked about Second Street. What we're presenting in the budget this year is a phase of the total project. To Tim's point, it's last month. We don't want to give the perception that the west section is all Second Street because we know that we want to connect to Marin Drive and Glen Creek and all these things that are still kind of in a state that we can't do much with right now. So we're trying to do things with what we can work with, and that's the west section. So Second Street has been a topic of conversation since 2014, but it's not new. Opportunity Fund too has been something we've been setting aside money for opportunity projects. So all these items, they are on the budget. They're not new. What's new with this west section is just there are opportunity developments that we can help with this public improvement project of Second Street, the west section of Second Street. So that's just some background. And this is just one of the graphics that goes back to our action plan that was established, I think, in 2015. So we've been talking about this for a while, setting aside funds for that purpose. So just some background as we segue into.
It really has been since
2015? Yeah.
Holy moly.
So that's the background, and then I'll get to Renee so she can give the details of the budget.
morning. I think I've met most of you, but for any of those that I haven't, I'm Renee Frazier. I'm the Financial Services Manager here in Urban Development. I think Tori covered most of what's in here. It is items that have been on the board's agenda in their plans for quite a few years. I separated out columns each year in an effort to try to help everyone see money that is carryover money from a prior year that we're just rebudgeting to use in a future year, and then where we've allocated new money for added to a project to come up with a total proposed budget. The project coordination and support dollars are staff costs associated with supporting the board, looking for new projects, working on plans and programs, managing grant programs, things like that. And the city's indirect cost allocation plan is charged to the West Salem Urban Renewal Area for central city services to support the area's business. So that would be things like legal, city manager's office, finance, to do the audit and things like that. And then the rest of what you see here is programs and projects that Tori mentioned. And then the last one, committed to future projects, is the money that is in this year's budget cash that's available that we're choosing not to allocate to anything. We're gonna roll it forward and continue allocating it to Second Street as we get into the phased construction of Second Street. So it's sort of like our savings plan, but if there was some sort of emergency that came up in the middle of the year, some fabulous opportunity that everyone wanted to take advantage of, we could allocate those funds mid-year to a project or a program.
So this is not to do with any of the bonds. I remember when I first started, there was a Second Street construction bond that we still had to pay on. Or is this including that bond funds?
We don't have any long-term debt in West Salem Urban Renewal Area at this time. We haven't in quite a few years. Actually, we've never issued long-term debt in West Salem. We have short-term debt issuances that we do every year, which is how we fund our projects. But we don't have long-term debt that we've issued in West Salem.
That's awesome.
How much could we get?
I did a little calculating for Tori a few weeks ago. I remember to print it because my memory's not as good as it used to be. So if we were to issue debt, due to the requirements that the bonding agency has, there's a few different requirements. One of them is called the coverage ratio. And so your coverage ratio means your debt service payment as a portion of your total revenue. So most places are requiring a debt service coverage ratio of 2. So that means if your debt payment is $1 million, you have to be bringing in $2 million of revenue, but it won't loan to you. And that's sort of been what the bonding agencies have looked at since the big recession in 08-09. It's been several years since we've issued long-term debt in one of our areas, so we're not sure, but that's a pretty conservative guess that they would require that kind of coverage ratio. So taking that into consideration and the money that we're bringing in every year, we could probably borrow $6 million. They'd probably give us a term of 7 to 10 years, and we would be able to get Second Street done in maybe 1 year versus 2 years, but that also depends on Public Works' capacity to do it in one phase instead of two. With the yearly revenue that we're getting and doing short-term debt issuances every year to fund the project, we'll still be able to do it within the next 3 years. So it wouldn't. We can't issue a big enough debt to really do Second Street and then do a bunch of other exciting things too. So there's not really, in my opinion, a huge benefit right now to doing debt issuance because we just don't have capacity for a lot of debt.
That would be a lot more.
So does that number increase when new projects come in? So
sure.
In other words, the new project on, Glen Creek and Wallace, how much does that affect that number?
So I also did a little thinking about that. And so when we get new development, that's really our best opportunity to get a new tax increment because it's 100% new, so all the revenue comes to us. New development brings in about $16,000 a year per million of assessed value. So if you, say, have a $5 million project, you're going to get about $100,000 of new tax revenue. So in order to really significantly increase your tax increment, for example, Tori asked how much increase in assessed value would we need to get another $1 million a year in increment revenue. You're looking at $60 million of new development in order to get $1 million of new increment revenue. But 16 per million is a good sort of estimator to keep in your head when you're thinking about this new development, how much it might bring in.
So doing the debt calculations, because the reason why I'm bringing this up is that it was 20 million, is that what the Second Street undercosting is, or are we up to 60 million now, or I forget what?
Probably.
Yeah.
The full project with the undercrossing is 35 million when we did it, when we did our feasibility study.
So in order to do that on a long-term debt plan, we would need to get up to $5 million in revenue a year, and is this six?
Oh my gosh, so that's, you know, quick math in my head.
Yeah. Well, that was never intended as a...
Right, so there's,
no,
few,
I just,
yeah, there's a few different factors there. Is that one, the West Salem Urban Renewal Area has about $17 million left in debt that it can issue, so we wouldn't have the ability to issue debt for $30 million, or URA doesn't have that capacity, unless we did a substantial amendment to the urban renewal area. But $6 million. I'm going to have to just calculate it and send it out. I don't want to guess on the fly.
Yeah. But if we spend the $6.8 million that are on here, that means we only have $11 million more to spend before we have to do a major amendment to the urban.
So after 2021, after this year, yes, there's $17.7 million of capacity in the URA.
So that's spending the 6.8, then it would be down that from the 17 million?
No, that 17 takes this into account.
Okay.
One last question for me.
Yeah.
As opposed to a new construction, when someone does equipment upgrades, things of that nature, how does that affect increment financing?
So because of the way the tax measures 547 and 50 work that were implemented in the 90s, there's a cap on how much AV can increase on a property, even if someone has done quite a few improvements to it. It really doesn't get us a lot of increment. So just in general for the urban renewal area, if we got the 3%, which is the maximum allowed by Oregon law right now, mm-hmm. if we got 3% every single year on every single piece of property, industrial, commercial, residential, it brings in approximately $115,000 more revenue each in every year. So that's if no new development occurred. That's the most that we would get in
a
year.
So there's a 3% limiter on personal property even when there's a significant improvement?
There may be an exception that if somebody puts in new commercial, large industrial equipment, like something like Chiquita used to have, or
assembly line or something.
Yeah, if it's new. Right, so they're increasing their assessed value. They're not just doing facade improvements or doing a roof or adding 100 square feet or something like that. We don't see huge increases in AV off those types of things.
So in general, just looking at it, $6 million is pretty much what we get to work with, right?
Right now, that's the debt we could issue to do projects. And it would take 7 to 10 years to pay it off. We'd have to ask the bonding agencies how long of a term they would give us on that small.
Because that's what we did for the other part of Second Street, from Rosemont to Girth, was a $6 million bond.
Oh, okay.
And I think we did that. So it's kind of the same format as what we got. So.
Great. Any other questions?
There's been a lot of changes since that time frame, too.
I didn't think we bonded on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
such a hard
time remembering
that.
I think
that,
we did.
It's been a while.
That's what happens when you've been here for a while.
I know, and we have lots of fun, so I'm so sorry about this.
I remember for the first large chunk, we couldn't do anything because we were having to pay back our bond.
Right, we were strapped. We chose to do that. Just like if we do this project, we were strapped. So you're not able to do other projects.
Yeah, we're doing our 75,000 toolbox grants at that point. That's all we could afford.
Yep.
No, 75,000 total. Total. That's it's not the 920,000
dollars.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
$6 million. What we got to work.
Now, with the Second Street, one of the things we had a question on last, we were looking to expand from the not what Tori had up on that map over there, but go the other way to.
So it gets confusing because we refer to girth to Wallace's phase one, but that'll have its own pieces to it. The most immediate piece would be, I think it's what, is it Patterson?
Yeah.
Patterson to Wallace, that would be, there's no roadway there right now, so that would be the first priority.
Now, we can draw from that $4 million that we have set aside for the design and construct of the second street, correct? Or do we have to do an amendment for something like that?
The existing, like, carryover, I think we have like $3 million. Is that what you're referring to?
Correct. Yeah, because you have $3 million plus a designated another million to it.
Right, so the plan, as I understand it, and Tori can correct me, is that in 2021, we'll be doing design for the second street from girth to Glen Creek Road, and then phase one construction would be the following year, girth to Wallace, and then the rest of it would be the following year after that.
Okay, so we can't use that fund. Because I thought that was designed for the second street undercrossing, but it's just second street overall.
Not the undercrossing. No, that's not what it's, that's not the intent.
Okay.
So as far as action, so if you have any suggestions or changes, I mean, that's time to talk about it. Or you can, if it's presented or whatever, it's up to you guys. But we do need action so we can move it forward to the rest of the city council.
I move to approve as displayed, or I don't know what the right word
presented.
Is. Presented.
I would second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any other comments or discussion? Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you all very
budget
much.
Is done.
Thank you, Minute.
Thank you for having a better memory than me. I'm a little embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed at all.
I just say it's fun to watch you have to do numbers on the fly. That's it.
Oh. Well, you know, Tori is really great about anticipating what some of your questions might be, and so I did have a little heads up about stuff to think about, but thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
So, Tori, you want to move to the ODOT discussion?
Yeah, so it's Carol of ODOT.
Hello. I have handouts of the slides. I only made about 15 copies, so if you want to.
Perfect.
We'll see. There's a few more than that here. And then I also have business cards for anybody that wants them. Thank you for inviting me to speak today about our project on Wallace River. Officially, it's called ORPT1 Michigan City Bank is Second Street. And the key number, if you want to go to the website and look up updated information, you're going to get a lot more information here than you know on the website right at the moment. But as it goes into construction, that'll be updated. The key number is 20122.
Teresa.
This side. By the way, this is Elizabeth Adams. She's here to take down any questions you might have that I can't answer today. Any questions that I can't answer today, I will try to find the answer for you. No guarantees. Depends on what the questions are. So why are we doing this project? Well, first of all, the pavement condition is rated fair to poor throughout the distance of the project. This project goes to, like, the title of it. From Michigan City Lane down to Edgewater. There's a small section just a little bit north and a little bit south of Glen Creek Road that was paved in 2013 and that we're not going to pave on this one. But the condition of the road is very bad. It was last paved in 1998, so it's getting bad. We're also going to be putting in some new signals and crosswalks that need to be enhanced and updated for safety. And then we're going to upgrade ramps, ADA ramps, because of the new laws that are in effect now. So,
I'm sorry, quick question.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned putting in new crosswalks and and lights. Do you have a location for that?
I do, later in the
presentation. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
I'll get
to that. So the history on this project, this was originally, when it was scoped back in 2015, so long ago, this was just going to be a paving project, simple resurfacing project. And then it got combined with three other projects, and that included updating ADA ramps and putting in the safety features for crosswalks and new crosswalk signals, so. So the scope was definitely increased. It's now called a three-arm project, which includes resurfacing, restoration, rehabilitation, which is enhanced safety. And I already explained that the majority of those was paved back in 1990, that was a small section. And I kind of agree that was paved in 2015. Next slide. So some of the solutions that we're going to be putting in for safety, we're going to be adding five rapid flashing beacons. We call them RRFBs for short. So at five crosswalks, and I'll identify where those are going. And then we're going to be putting in some push button and audible countdown. So I think there's a lot of those downtown already where you can hear it actually count down the time. And then we're adding 172 ADA ramps. So that's actually the majority of the project is ADA ramp upgrades. So this is where they're going to be. I know this is probably a little bit hard to see, but the paving is the red line up here with the small section running in here near Glen Creek that's not going to be repaved. So pedestrian push button signals and audible countdowns. I don't know if you can see those little green triangles up here, but I'll just list them. They're going to be at Vic Avenue, Oak Crest and Cleek, the park and ride near Bush Creek, Bush College Road. Brush College Road. And then at River Bend, Orchard View, Linda, Narcissus, Orchard Heights, Glen Creek, and Tanger, and Edgewater. So those are going to be the push button and audible countdowns. That's where those are going. The five RRFBs will be at, one will be at Vic Avenue, the other one at the Park and Ride near Brush College Road, one at Orchard View, one at Linda, one at Narcissus, and I think that's the five of them. So that's where those are going. And the reason for those being put in are people that do all of like traffic counts and accident surveys and that kind of thing. That's how those things are determined, where these things go. And also like what schools are in the vicinity, and they look at all the different data to decide where all these things are going to be improved and upgraded. And
is there any thought put at the where the pedestrian bridge comes in?
On Second Street?
Yeah.
I'll get to Second Street.
Where?
But no, actually not for this project. That was not really the overcross or undercross. Is it going to be an undercross?
No, it's more to do with putting a pedestrian thing, because there's a lot of people that dead end and try to cut straight across there, and so I didn't know if there's more accidents there than they'll actually consider putting something crossing there, or how they do that.
I wasn't going to get to this part yet, but I will say that there's going to be a temporary crossing at Second Street during construction only, and it's temporary. It's not a permanent crossing there. And the reason for that is we've looked at various crossings because of the city of Salem is not real happy about having a crosswalk there. Understandably, I mean, people are coming around that curve pretty fast. But during construction, there's going to be a lot of barrels and cones and stuff that will hopefully slow down the traffic. And I'm sure that the construction speed is going to be a lot lower, whether people pay attention to that. People these days don't seem to pay much attention to speed limits, but it will be most likely a reduced speed limit through that zone, plus all the construction barriers and that kind of thing in there that will hopefully slow down traffic. So that'll make it a little safer during construction, which is when that temporary crosswalk will be. The other thing was we've looked at other crosswalk locations further north of Second Street, and the problem with that is one, there's a distance factor for those people who are handicapped or in wheelchairs and trying to, because it was quite a ways up the road. And the other thing is, because there's a hump right at Second Street, when you get up to the, like, the next block or so, and look back, you can't see the traffic. So traffic can't see you in that crosswalk either. So there's a sight distance issue with moving that further north. So that's why it was determined to put it right on Second Street, which is the humped area, so that it's a better sight distance for traffic coming around. That's the reason behind that. I know it's not ideal. Nobody likes it. We don't like it either. But it's the best solution during construction. And it's only going to be while they're doing the ADA ramps in the area during paving. It depends kind of how the contractor wants to schedule work. And I'll get to that too in just a minute. But so that's, anyway, that's Second Street. That's the Second Street.
Was there any thought of possibly putting a permanent light there at grade?
Not for this project.
But is that up for discussion?
Not in this project. Sorry.
No, I just, we've been trying to, what was it, 5 years ago, we went to ODOT. Julie, you were there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we were trying to have the conversation about putting an at grade crossing at Second Street because it'd be considerably cheaper than under or over.
This is a decision by the state traffic engineer to not put a permanent on there.
Okay.
And so you would probably have to petition him and...
Petition.
And that's not the scope of this project. It's the temporary.
Where the Narcissus Court crossing is?
Uh-huh.
Is that because of side view? And because I thought Hope would be more of a crossover than there.
I'm not sure, but if you write that down, I will try to answer that question.
It's farther
away
from town.
Okay.
But being that as an intersection where Narcissus is just kind of a little loop
it's
street.
A loop, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just thinking.
I'm not sure about the decision why it was put there rather than at Hope, but I can check with our design engineer.
I was just thinking in the future that would be an area for a stoplight if Marine Drive ever came about. Just future thoughts.
Yeah, future thoughts. Okay, yep. Elizabeth will capture any questions that I can answer, and then I will send out a follow-up. It might take me a while to get all the answers, so don't step one later this week, but I will get back to you.
Carol, I'm sorry, there was a question about those crossings. Is there going to be an island in the middle? In other words, there's five lane, there's two and two, so four in that median. Someone hits that, it could take, what's the timing? And Aaron, maybe you can answer that, the timing to get across that. In other words, traffic would stop both directions.
Correct. That's my understanding. I can follow up with that. There's a question to you again with the design engineer. I know they are planning to put signage. I'm not sure about the flashing lights and if it's going to be like a section kind of thing, but I think it's one continuous. I'm not sure about that.
No.
I can follow up with that.
And Lindy Court, isn't there a crossing already there?
There may be. Some of these are enhanced.
Yes.
A lot of these are where. So technically,
it's not new.
Technically, any intersection is technically a crosswalk. Even though it may not be marked, it's a legal crosswalk. And cars, vehicles are supposed to stop if they see a pedestrian at an intersection.
So those are going to have lights, the solar panel flashing lights, the new ones?
I don't know if they're solar panel or if they're actually connected to the rest of the system.
But they're all going to be lit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the RRFDs will be lit. And then the ones with the new countdown signals, those will obviously be lit with the new little lights, the countdown.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to add that it's my understanding that all five of those locations are at the existing crosswalks where there are median islands.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that ODOT is looking to relocate one of them, shifted a little bit. We asked a question when we were reviewing their plans, and I haven't received a response on the reasoning for that yet, but basically it's at those existing crossings that you see up north of Orchard Heights.
Okay, so they're existing already.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're existing. They're just going to have the, like she mentioned, the RRFPs,
just enhanced.
Okay.
They'll be enhanced. That's
Yeah, all of them are awesome. Aaron, did you have something to add?
Well, I guess, try to answer your question, yeah. So when the city typically puts in an RFP, we time it that you can cross the entire road and we don't put a push button in the middle. I know ODOT often puts one in the middle.
Sometimes, and I'll have to check, like I said, on this.
So I think ODOT's working with us to install RFPs that are the same as all the ones the city has installed down recently. But I'm not sure about the push button.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I know Eric Duskfall is working with one of our design engineers, Chris Prim, on a lot of the plans, so they are in communication.
So I mean, when she talks about the push buttons and countdowns, that's part of an existing traffic signal that's being triggered as an ADA effort.
Right. I think that's, the question was.
But you don't actually have to stop for, you know, not a police officer, but if there's, you know, six lanes that somebody, a pedestrian is crossing and the flashing lights are going on, if they are more, the pedestrian is more than one lane away from you, you don't have to stay stopped. So the pedestrian has already made it to the other direction of traffic, you can proceed through.
That's fine.
It's more like drawing your attention to the fact that there's a pedestrian there.
It's the same law as like a right turn at a signal.
Yes.
So you have an island of protection. If you're going but north and they're on the south side type deal, traffic can go through cautiously, just in case.
Yeah, as long as they've already passed through.
Yeah.
If they're headed that direction, then we go.
Aaron, do you know what the timing is, like Portland Road, what that timing is to get across?
It depends on the width of the roadway.
Yeah.
So each one is tailored to the width of the roadway, so. I mean, it takes into account the average speed the pedestrian travels at, which changes 3.5.
So 3.5 seconds per foot?
Yeah.
3.5 seconds?
Per foot.
Per foot. So like 10 minutes. It takes someone to get across Wallace. I know you're not an officer.
It counts for people in wheelchairs or.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, so that's why you don't have to stay stopped the entire time, you know.
With the disclaimer that you're not an officer, is it okay to speed up? Can you accelerate? I just want to be clear. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's great.
Any other questions on this slide?
Length of time, what was the length of time on this project?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
We just need to let Carol talk up there.
That's all right, I don't mind.
Can I make a motion to let Carol finish?
Okay, so our funding for this, as I said, it was a combination of like four projects all slammed together, but the funding is actually the Fix-It program, which includes repaving and upgrading and safety kind of things. So initially, like I said, it was going to be a paving project. Now it's turned into mostly an ADA project. So the funding, the percentage of the funding, there's like 18% is for paving and 77% is for ADA ramps. So it's more of an ADA ramp project than it is a paving project, even though it started out as a paving project. There's 5% that for bike ped, and I know that will disappoint a lot of people who ride the bikes, they want to get better bike lanes and that kind of thing, but we're going to improve as much as we can on that and put in striping, but there aren't going to be really any big upgrades for the bike ped paths here. I don't know if you want me to go through all the details of there. So preliminary engineering, preservation is like 25.77%. I can kind of look over that. I think the majority of it is kind of geared in that pie chart, though, that gives you an idea of where all the money is going. So the total project budget is now $9,900,000. We may or may not spend all of that, but that's what's been budgeted.
That is a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. Yes, it is.
It's not. If you consider how much it's taking us to do two blocks.
And changing the design and
two boxes costing us $4 million.
Project has changed, scope has changed, so it adds up when you're changing things. More engineering time to look at the design. So. As a matter of fact, I put in a request to move some money from construction back into the design because we're still working on design. Any questions on that? Yeah.
Sorry. this isn't meant to be political or any judgment or anything like that, but when you're talking 77% of 9 million, that's $7,623,000. Has there been any studies that show ADA, a need for ADA that goes out that far? To be fair, I've just never seen that. And is it a kind of a field of dreams, we build it, they'll come kind of thing, or is it?
It is a state law now, pretty much, that we have to improve ADA ramps at every intersection on state roads, federal roads.
Because of federal funding that has come in the past?
It's actually because ODOT got, I'm not supposed to mention this, but everybody knows it's been in the public. ODOT got sued a few years ago because of the lack of ADA ramps and the ability for handicapped people to cross. And part of the settlement on that was that we were going to build, I don't remember what the large number is, we were going to pretty much improve any ADA ramp on any state federal highway.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Added to that, the standard for the type of the ramp has changed. So
definitely.
existing ADA didn't meet up to it, so
exactly.
It's already there, it's going to have to be torn out.
It's going to have to be torn
replaced.
Out.
So that's a big factor too.
It is.
A lot of it's already there from
and they're going to
past code, the new code, they now have to redo it.
That's exactly right. A lot of the ADA ramp area, some of them have like poles and signs in the middle of them where a wheelchair needs room to turn. And so you have to have a certain area in there now to be able to turn a wheelchair, that's part of it. And then the slope on the ramp itself, there's very tight tolerance on those slopes now that wasn't there before. It used to be that the slope could be pretty steep and the wheelchair would like zoom out there and then hit, you know, the pavement. And because the pavement's kind of curved up, it's not a good situation. So now there's like a landing pad area and the slopes have to be a certain amount and all of these have to conform to the new laws. And so any ADA ramps that are out there that were built before last year probably don't conform. So they're all coming out and they have to be rebuilt by state law. That's why this is so expensive. ADA ramps cost anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000 apiece.
I'm sorry, say that again.
ADA ramps can cost anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000 apiece.
That's just
per bowl. So in one bowl, there's two ramps. You're saying that could be $100,000.
It could be more than two. So at each crossing, you've got at a typical intersection where you have two roads.
Yeah, just 90 right? degrees. Yeah.
We've got two each direction on each corner, so there's eight right there. That's why it's 77% of the cost of this project.
But there's a spot on Glen Creek and Wallace. I mean, it's almost like a little island. I mean, there's three in that middle. I mean,
and if there's some in the middle, then those right. have to be
numbered. Is it special material? Like, is this like
no, that's not. Oh, well, the only special material they have put in the truncated domes for the vision impaired, so the vision impaired know that the street is coming up. So those will be included in those as well.
Right, you want to
talk about those bumpy things?
Oh, yeah.
I always trip on those with heels.
Yeah, they're not meant for heels. They're meant for vision impaired. Sorry.
That's a lawsuit waiting to happen. So
yeah,
probably.
It's construction.
Everything we do is a lawsuit.
Yeah. And I said it too. Any
other questions on the construction projects, especially with the state? And it's even more if we hire a consultant to design this home. Yeah. You have a question?
I'll let you do this one. My question is if we want to petition the state engineer for the Second Street crossing, what point would we need to have that complete by? Because I'm looking at your calendar of events going on here, of advanced planning, things like that.
Yeah, it's not going to be in this project, I can guarantee that. It would be in a future project.
Okay.
I would contact him or go through your MPO
metric, well, maybe this is it, then you're probably part of the metropolitan planning organization, right?
No, I mean, Salem, the city of Salem, yes.
Yes, okay.
You know, so that would be the COG, Council Governments, Mike Jaffe, the SCATS.
So that's where a lot of the projects get started, and then they go through a vetting process and, you know, just figure out which ones are more important and how much they're going to cost.
I think what I hear the question is, though, it would be more, would ODOT approve a permanent one? Because getting the funding is where you would go to the NPO.
Right, yeah.
Or usual money or whatever. But it's more that ODOT has said, as you all know, time and time again, that no, we will not put in at-grade crossing there. And so I think what he's asking is, who would they petition at ODOT to get approval of?
That would be the state engineer, traffic engineer.
Okay.
Traffic and roadway. One is Lane, his name's Mike Kimmelinger.
I think last time you guys worked through Tim Woods, who was the area manager for this area.
About John Hustis.
Right, so there's a new person, because Tim retired, so, you know, that's probably who you would start with.
I'm sorry, Mike's last name again?
Well, Mike Kimmelinger is.
He has the state roadway traffic engineer, traffic roadway engineer.
And then John Hustis is.
Is the area manager. And I can send out that information if you want to, so that you have it.
Yes, please.
Sorry.
And then Second Street, are they still leaving the hump in this paving project?
They are, and I'm taking that down with me.
An incremental cost.
Yeah. It's an old railroad bed, so there's probably all kinds of hazmat issues underneath the.
Nah, there's none.
Taking that out.
It's all gone.
Yeah. Yes.
You may be getting to it, but are we going to have lanes shut down 24 hours a day?
No.
Or open night projects and everything's going to be moving during the day?
I'll get to that.
It's about figuring.
I will get to that, yes. Okay, so right now we are trying to finish up advanced plans. We have some recent, as of last week, changes to the advanced plans. I'm going to send Julie our answers to the preliminary plans, and then she'll be getting the advanced plans and comment sheet. Either maybe this week or maybe next week, and with some issues going on. I was hoping to get it out Friday, but I mean, for review, because just review is not finalized yet. So our advanced plan should be complete April 2nd, with any luck. And then we'll go on to final plans. Those are to be completed at the end of July. Bid opening for construction is if all goes well. And then construction, they will probably start on 88 rounds in the wintertime. They can do some things in the wintertime on 88 rounds, paving, but 88 rounds, yes. So, and that will continue through October of next year. This is the timeline on that. So about a year of construction on that road. During construction, as I mentioned, we're going to have some temporary pedestrian access routes, which we call TPARs. So these are where those temporary ones are going to be. They also overlap where the current some of the permanent ones are going to be, not all the ones. But so Vic Avenue is a marked and Cleek Oak Crest is signalized. Wallace Road parking lot is marked. Riverbend Road is signalized. Orchard View Avenue is marked. Linda Avenue is marked. Narcissus Court is marked. Orchard Heights, there's actually two there, Glen Creek, there's two, Tiger Lake. Those are all signalized. Again, Second Avenue is going to be a temporary RRFP and markings, but that's temporary. And then at Edgewater, it'll be signalized temporary crossing. But, you know, a lot of these, like I said, they overlap the permanent ones that are already there. Questions? Next slide. So during construction, no full road closures are planned at this time. Single lane closures only. Standard truck freight mobility will be maintained throughout the project. Mobility for over dimensional loads up to 12 feet wide, with those are ones with annual permits. Those will be maintained during daytime hours, not nighttime hours, but daytime hours. Larger loads will still be accommodated with a 7-day notice, advance notice, there won't be a delay. They'll be prepared to let that wide load through. Without advance notice, there may be a delay of getting that through for about 20 minutes. But yeah, we'll still maintain freight. Next slide.
Quick question, do you know if it'll be night construction and day construction?
Yes.
Both?
Both, yeah. And I'm getting to that.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So the single lane closures. So these are needed for worker safety during the ADA ramp construction. That's going to be during the daytime hours. And then for lane paving, obviously, you have to close the road in order to pave. So those lanes will be closed. And that will, I believe they're only going to pave at night, so that lane closure will be paving only at night. These are the proposed hours. So Michigan City Lane to Wallace Road Park and Ride, the closures will be from 9 p.m. Sunday, which is at 2:12 p.m. Friday. So it's open on the weekends. That section up north will be open on the weekends. Pretty much everything's going to be open on the weekends. From the Wallace Road Park and Ride to Orchard View Avenue, daily, there'll be a closure Monday through Thursday between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Friday between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. So the afternoons on Fridays, it'll be open. And then nightly, Sunday night through Friday morning, between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. And that's just to the Orchard View. So again, north. Orchard View Avenue to Edgewater, northbound lanes. Nightly, Sunday night through Friday morning between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. And then southbound, that same section, Orchard View Avenue to Edgewater Street southbound, will be nightly, Sunday night through Friday morning between 6 p.m. and 5 a.m. So we're trying to accommodate traffic in the mornings and afternoons, and then weekends they should all be open all the time. Now, this has not been totally approved through our local carrier unit though, but this is what they pretty much recommend, so I don't see too many changes in this, but there may be a few hour shifts if people have a problem with like early morning or late afternoon traffic that they need certain days or something. And then I don't know if there's any special events going on during this time that you shall go, but we'll take those into consideration to find out what they are. Questions on them? Okay. So the contractor will be able to construct the project in any sequence of works for being approved. So they may be doing something up north, they may be doing something down south at the same time. Depends on how his crews can work. It would be kind of nice if they could do it kind of suspension, but I don't guarantee that that's going to happen. It's kind of up to the contract on that. So more than one area may be under construction every weekend. And again, paving will be done at night. Next slide. So that's all I have. If you have questions, I'm going to answer some more, or try to answer some more questions. Here's my contact information on the slide, and then I did pass around my cards. And then I'll be sending out contact information for state traffic roadway engineer and the area manager. Here's one of my bosses. I have. Any other questions for me?
We like to get them out in the middle of the process as opposed to the end, so.
What's that?
We like to get those out in the middle of the process as opposed to the end. Disrupt the flow. Well, Carol, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So I'm
going to take off. Yeah. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet all of you.
Aaron, you don't get a talk. Did you watch your weekend? Put you up there. It's okay. All right.
Julie?
He's kind enough to join us. Question details.
How will it go about doing that petition type of stuff?
Yeah.
I think that when Carol sends the contact information,
if you, as a board, you know, choose to send a letter to that, you know, that person.
To that person? It wouldn't be to anyone in the city in order to go.
I mean, you know, yes, I guess we could discuss that. I guess, you know, part of the issue here is that, you know, both the state and the city have said that we don't support having a permanent crossing at this location because of both safety and because of traffic operations. So, you know, the ultimate authority is the state. So the state may want you to come to the city and make the city be the one that comes to the state. So, but I would probably start with going directly to the state because mm-hmm. they're the ones who actually make the decision. You know, we knew that by putting in the temporary, you guys are going to want a permit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm not at all surprised. So,
well, it, in my mind,
if it works, why not?
Well, my mind.
And it's only working yes. during construction when you have.
Oh, I know, but if it shows that it works.
I know.
It doesn't show that it works. That's the problem.
Well, in my mind, the beauty of the temporary is let's say it's a complete tank and it doesn't work. I mean, well, that answers yeah. the question. Yeah. Let's say for some reason, like, wow, this actually works. It at least, I mean, I don't know, it gives a platform for us to have a conversation.
No, I agree. And we definitely have desires in our adopted plans for. Connectivity across there. The form of that connectivity is, of course, in question. And yeah.
And we knew it was going to open up a can of worms as well. So, but the situation is going to be totally different. It's going to be different during construction than it is on a normal given day during heavy traffic.
Traffic is going to be backed up either way.
You're exactly right. It is. But it's going to be hopefully a little works. Slower yeah. and more controlled during construction.
What's the speed limit during construction versus normal?
It depends on what's going on.
Can anybody remember what the speed limit is right when you come off there, when you're at second? Is it 25 or is it 30?
Whatever it takes to drift.
I think it's 30. 47.
I think it is.
And how fast are people actually?
Well,
40.
Well,
I mean, no, they are.
During construction, they're going 15.
Coming off that bridge,
I'm sorry,
they're going 20 miles an hour.
They're going zero. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
In reality, they cruise around there 20-25, and by the hump, they're picking up, it's up at 40, unless there's traffic. I mean, that road will, people are moving unless.
Couldn't you mitigate that with speed cameras, though? Like, isn't there, like,
No.
I mean, an actual speed camera where you could get, like, we go over tickets, like those little, because then you would ensure the speed of that, and if not, you penalize those that do violate it, and then you can mitigate the risk of going around the corner, like if it's going too fast, slow it down. Save this whole government another $20 million for say construction.
Right. So yes, I don't know. I do agree that this is a good test. I mean, I know that Carol says it's a different circumstance until I actually see what's out there. I don't know that and there might be times when it appears close to normal, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Are there any design ideas for the middle lane between 2nd and Taggart right now? Any medians or?
Well, the thing is, you have businesses that the only way you can get to it.
But I just want to make sure there's none that it's not in.
Well, hopefully there's no medians.
I don't think there's any real design changes from what's out there right now. The only changes that are occurring are the ADA ramps, and then it's a paving project.
Because I know when we last met with ODOT, they were talking about closing down Wall Street to the Dutch Brothers entrance, so you don't have to go around the corner, but that's not in.
That's not in this project.
Okay.
Might be in another project.
I mean, I hear complaints about that,
correct.
But I've never heard ODOT take a stand enough to actually close it.
Okay.
To go off of the comment over here, is there's no mediums, concrete mediums to be put up in the middle of Wallace Road in this project?
Not in this project. Now, as you guys remember when we talked about the potential of opening Musgrave, mm-hmm. you know, the gate on Musgrave, ODOT had said that if the city wanted to pursue that, they would want us to extend the median across Musgrave and that they could potentially include it in this project. The feedback, this project is too far advanced to add that in. Second, you know, the feedback we've received, particularly from our parks board, is that opening up Musgrave is really not not something that is supported. So anyway.
Would you have to modify the bridge under?
No, you just have to make sure that you have only small vehicles would go that way.
Right, you had flashing lights and guards and everything that you could.
And I can guarantee those don't always work, because I have a bridge project where we have flashing lights that says if you're over this height and the light's flashing, don't go on the bridge, because you're going to hit the bridge, and guess what?
They hit the bridge.
They don't hit the bridge anyway, so people don't pay attention to speed limits or flashing lights.
Well, like, you know, under the road, that's itself, I mean, you know, trucks and RVs get wedged under the railroad crossings there.
Sometimes they move the railroad crossings. We have another project in outside of Albany where people have hit the bridge, and on this particular line, the railroad is closed. They don't use it anymore, but they also don't want us touching it. Railroads are fun to work with.
Right.
It's moved over like a foot.
Because of
that. Is that all?
Because somebody, more or less, it's something like that. Mm. Because somebody hit the bridge, a truck, several trucks, you know, so they hit the bridge and they
made
moved
the
bridge. Shifted, so it's not a good thing.
Like a house, could you put a solid beam across that? Like when you redo a wall and put it in?
I'm not an engineer.
That is a question on Harrisburg Bridge. We may put in a beam. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody asked about that. Somebody asked that question.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay.
Thanks, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Aaron.
See you, Aaron.
Thanks for coming. Samantha, have a great day. Thanks for leaving early.
Can we have that meeting with them, or?
Which one? Lyle was on that.
Okay.
Lyle.
Well, maybe as a Polk County Commissioner, we might have. I thought it was.
I might have been.
Maybe it was Chris.
Why don't we.
This is a reality.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, why don't we keep going here, get through the agenda? We're actually, I think, going to be getting out of here a little early today, which is fantastic.
Don't say that, you cursed it.
Nope. So moving on to 6B there, Edgewater Partnership, West Salem Association, Neighborhood Association. So, Wayne, anything that you have on Edgewater?
There's things coming up. Market's coming up in May. I think I mentioned that before. We'll do a big community event, Super Saturday, June 13th. I can get more information as I get some.
We'll get closer.
I think there's interest, there's conversations and questions around that community opportunity. Grant.
Yeah.
So that might be something for us. I know for those living in that area, businesses there, it could be a huge piece. So I don't know, we may want to discuss like how we want to actually implement that at some point. But.
Maybe when we get down to D, there were topics for future meetings.
Yeah, could be something on
there. Tim, you have anything from the association or?
Well, the only thing that popped up and I don't know if we don't have anyone from the city, you might know about it. There was a map of designated areas for homeless to be allowed to camp out. And it popped up and it was talked about the Neighborhood Association. And from my understanding from Councilor Lewis, that it's just some, I'm ahead of myself.
No, go ahead, it's perfect.
Okay, and so anyway, this popped up and so there was discussion about it. And the concerns was that it showed every school being a proposed area and then 100% of the Edgewater business area was going to be opened up to that.
Just so you know, you're looking up to reference what Tim's talking about. Anything in pink was the map that was, I wouldn't say it was proposed, but it says proposed a lot of camping, but
as long as the words there saying proposed, somewhere along the line it was brought up.
Yeah. So I didn't mean to interrupt, really.
No. So other, without having direct, this is just hearsay on it, unless someone could say otherwise, it was just brought up and I don't even know if it went to discussion on it, but someone brought it up. And so once this started going around, there was a lot of concerns in the West Salem area.
My understanding, and again, I'm looking, there could be correction, this is not even a viable option that when I've But I could, this could be, to your point, it says City of Salem and it went out, so I think you're, I think it's spot on. I don't know that I've spoken to anybody that this is actually a realistic option.
And I think that what's gonna happen is...
They just included everything else.
Right, so...
So I don't think it's gonna go anywhere ultimately. I think, Tim, you were talking about, you talked to Counselor Lewis, I did as well, but did you want to expand on that?
Just saying that it's, it was brought up, but he doesn't see it moving forward. That's all I could probably quote on that. However, dealing with any time of trying to resolve an issue, anything that's brought up is always put on the table.
Right.
It's never thrown away. It's sitting there, and it could be revised or actually accepted. So, or not even accepted. So I just want to have knowledge of that from the business association that this flew around. You got a question?
Yeah.
I can get a little more on that.
Yeah.
There's been some more discussion on not just a one camp idea, but like smaller five or six camps throughout town, about 30 to 40 people, because of the old idea that they really don't all like to be together. And so that's further discussion and the possibility of them selecting Wallace again as one of those. Mm-hmm. And so that is...
Can you state your name for the recording?
Sorry, Tyler Jackson.
Yeah. So real quickly, I don't think this needs to turn into a whole homeless thing. We're never going to fix that. I think it's more important that
just
this
be aware.
Well, because it does affect the URA that we're trying to approve, and I think it's just something to have on your radar.
Yeah, just be aware of this. Is if you haven't seen it, you have an idea now of what someone may be talking about on the homeless camp areas.
So who wrote this?
City staff produced it based on a request from City Council.
I don't know what the origin is. I would suggest going to social media. I know that SitLi is coming up again. It's an ongoing conversation at the council level. I haven't been involved. I don't know what the origin of the camp sites is. I know that rules are being discussed, and it's gone back to the same kind of, no camping, 24-hour period or something like that. So. I would suggest if you want to track it, stay involved, to follow the social media and the website.
It's going to dovetail into the SitLi, ultimately, likely.
SitLi.
SitLi ordinance downtown where currently homeless can build encampments and things of that nature. There's a whole discussion at the city council level to say you can't do that downtown. And as an answer to that, they're usually a place for people to go. And that's where this was generated as just a
right
conversation.
Right.
So again, we're never going to do anything about it, but it's something that we need to be paying attention to from the perspective of the URA. It affects the URA.
From a PR point of view, I think this is really poor on the city's part. Like, it was probably asked about what our options and looked, and then to Tim, to your point, PR-wise, like, this was not a good move for the city, I think.
Yeah,
so
it reads that this is what they want to do.
Exactly. And so that's where I think, I think the only thing for us probably would, I think for us to be aware, and again, to your point, we're not going to solve it. I think one of the more viable options being discussed is, and I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but you mentioned
Tyler,
but it's not creating a centralized sheltering system so that everybody, be it 200 to 400 people, come to it. But conceptually, like, what does it look like to provide shelter throughout the city? And I think the conversation is more about sheltering than it is around camping.
That's
not for us to solve or no. We have to have some awareness that what would that look like in West Salem? I don't even know if that's even an option.
And I would encourage
you to have homeless people move into your place of business there.
Yeah,
we see them. And we've also had some theft on our street, too. People breaking into cars. We've had, I think, 5 of them so far in the last 6 months or so. Just break windows.
I will say something on the good side. At least they're really talking hard about it, and ideas are out there.
Right.
That's the thing about it. If no one's talking about it, nothing's going to get done. But if they're talking about it and you start throwing stuff on the wall and see what sticks, at least they're moving in that direction. So, give them kudos on that.
Yep. All right, so moving on to 6C, just current events. Anybody have anything that's going on for the good of the order? If nobody does, I would just throw out there at the chamber on March 12th, 7 a.m. is a public policy meeting in which we've invited all the Salem city councilors to come in who are running for a seat, as well as the three registered, current registered county commissioner seats. There's two seats, excuse me. One is in Polk County. It's Lyle Mordors, who's the incumbent, versus Terry Taylor, who is trying to get in on that seat. And then in Marion County, it's Danielle Bethel, who is currently running unopposed for Sam Brentano's seat for Marion County Commission. So we're inviting all those people in, city and county commissioners, to come in, have a discussion. We've given them some questions, and I would encourage everyone to check it out.
What's the time?
7 a.m., March 12th. Tim, you were going to add something more.
Well, I was going to go just wondering on some follow-up. I think we had a discussion last month, and it was talking that a developer was looking at the Second Street connection from Patterson to Murlark, or from Murlark to Wallace, and the name was Blackburn that was thrown up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Has anything of anything of knowledge of
so of my understanding is he acquired
that building.
One over here.
Both of them.
Yeah, at least so this area.
Mm-hmm. I called him, I talked to him about it. He's the warehousing that's I guess ordered the formal order approved, just that whole block. He says he wants to turn into self storage. So I don't know if that's a change of use as far as the city's concerned. I think it's still inside the same warehousing kind of use, which means it probably won't trigger the improvements for the Second Street. I'm assuming that's why he's doing it that way. The property there that's got the parking lot, you know, First Street behind it, that one he's going to do a mix of a retail down below and then apartments up top. That one, I'm assuming he's going to apply to have First Street vacated. I mean, and I don't know how much you can say, Tori, but I'm assuming that he would apply to have First Street vacated probably down the middle, and then those properties be halved to the adjacent property owners, because there's really no public benefit for that I see.
I know the First Street here.
Right. That's only what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's just that small section.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to improve all around where he does the mixed-use development.
First and second there.
And he's only got 30 months to do it if he plans to take advantage of this new federal tax. Yeah, the opportunity zone. And the same thing with the warehousing and storage. He's only got 30 months to do it. But like I said, I doubt he'll be required to put in any improvements along Second Street.
Is that
both
buildings that he's looking at?
Yeah, he bought them. They're already sold. They're closed.
The right. Self-storage, is that just using existing buildings, or is that new construction?
I think it's just using the existing buildings. He's just repurposing them. I mean, it would go within his kind of MO, because that's what he did with where Chicha and Little Lois is. He just repurposed those. Mm-hmm. He didn't really build anything.
So the footprint would stay the same. He just get them upgraded to storage.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, I didn't have detailed discussions with him. I just asked him what he was doing, and that's the overview he gave.
Good. Yeah, he's talked about exterior improvements, and when we talk about Second Street, he has plans for what he wants, like I would say there's an aspirational, like eventually
yeah.
He sees it through, he'd like to redevelop, but he doesn't want to just sit vacant. I don't think anybody does. So he's looking for some kind of transitional where he can get in, get some revenue. He wants good frontage on Second Street. We've been talking about Second Street.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's talking about restaurants and other things. Some things that can be fitting along that.
But later down the road, though.
Right.
And self-storage, it sounds like, would be kind of mitigating.
It's not for the whole building. I think it's just in an area.
Okay. Is it the concrete building on Edgewater? That's the self-storage? Well, the... No, the whole building. The improvements he does to this has to equal at least the value of the improvements on the site. So he has to spend at least the value of the improvements on the site. I don't know how you identify that other than just looking at the tax rolls and seeing what the improvements are worth according to the county. But that's the tax law.
For the opportunity zone.
Yeah. Is in order to take advantage of the tax breaks, you have to spend at least the amount of the improvements that are already there.
Any other current events or anything that need to be? No? All right, moving on. Last thing is April topics. Dwayne, did you want to put anything?
I think that community opportunity grant, I think we have an opportunity. I remember, I think it was Lyle when he sat on this board. I just remember him saying, like, sometimes doing those things that it's light fixtures, it's sidewalk improvements. I mean, they're little things that communicate to the area that we're doing something. So I just think we have a good advantage to discuss that, put something in place.
So maybe what we should do is, along that topic line, is if someone has, like Samantha's big on the on a sign, welcome to Salem, West Salem, something like that, maybe that's these types of topics can be raised if someone has an opinion.
Yeah. Especially if we have CODOT's contact info now for those guys that govern Wallace.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that should be brought up there, Nick. Should we pursue the idea?
I'm full-heartedly in. I was thinking, my question that I had is, if we have the Second Street not with the Marine Drive connection, does we improve that area enough to get what we, is it the same type of improvements that we would get if we had the undercrossing? Or like development, because I remember the biggest constraint on the rain speed for getting into like this multi-purpose thing is the Second Street connectivity. If you have the under, you can do a lot more with the rain speed business. Spot, right?
Yeah, traffic in general.
It's just traffic, yeah.
So my question is, if we had the add grade, would that also allow us to do it? Because we pretty much will have all the stuff that we need to do to...
I think you need the full system, whether it's add grade or not.
You still need that marine.
Like our section of Second Street, I think it will add some circulation, but you're still east-west, you're still Taggart, you're still only loading intersections that are already pretty heavy. It's the full, whether you're at grade or in there.
But it needs to go somewhere. I think it's to the point.
You have to go to Glen Creek.
Glen Creek and then further, you know,
and then go Marine Drive.
So you basically need to have a Marine Drive connectivity.
Yeah, well, I don't think
rain sweep necessarily, not to get that to the higher level. You know, I would say having the additional circulation of Glen Creek would probably be good.
My thought is that if we can get it to happen, like this would be the time that we have the opportunity to get at grade crossings. I think every time we could possibly get an at grade crossing, it will save us $20 million. And not only that, it would change the time horizon from 30 years to 5 years, per se.
So are you talking about kind of push in this current project? Is that
no, but okay. They made it clear it wouldn't happen in this project,
right.
But it definitely opens the possibility for this conversation to happen again. And they knew that it would open the conversation up again at this point in time. There seems to be ways that you can mitigate it to have what their concerns are with the speedy around the corner. You can change the speed limit and you can enforce it with they have these speed cameras now where you can make sure that just like as you come across the bridge, there's a camera there. You have one as you come down, if you're going too fast around the corner, you get caught, you get busted. And so there's ways that you can mitigate all their stuff and have it happen in a couple of years versus the fairyland of 30 years from now, we'll have a Marine Drive, Second Street undercrossing, because that was 2015, you said, is when we have this plan all done. That's ridiculous. And we haven't got any movement, zero. As we've been saving up, and I was like, I'm giving up on even a Second Street undercrossing. This seems to be the only viable way to get any traffic across Second Street is at grade, because it's something that we could petition, we have the money to do it, and we get it done.
And I think that point, just my opinion, I think testing it is one of the best things we can do. It's a temporary crossing, it's not going to answer it. But I think until we get movement on an ODOT higher up and a City of Salem higher up,
our letter's not gonna change. It's just, I think, if that's even a conversation, I think it's gotta give peace of mind to ODOT, City of Salem, that that crossing is safe and it's gonna keep traffic flowing. So I'm not convinced that that grade, I'm not sure that that's the answer either, but.
I think kind of once and for all, we need to get the information at the board as to, you know, why it's been declined in the past so that we understand what we're talking. I mean, so we understand what the other argument is, because we all understand the benefit of a crossing. That's sort of easy. You know, we want the flow. And I think the city wants flow there. The state doesn't care about local connection. They just want to maintain their highway. But we need to understand what those issues are, because I think it's pedestrian safety has been brought up. It's backing up on the bridge. You know, they don't want another stop. You know,
that's where the state has come in. When we talked to them, is that the traffic that you're experiencing in the late peak hours is going to be hampered even further, because you're one to have the test of the side. You know, we'll see how the PEDs trigger that, but you also would have the cues, the lights, because you'd have it similar to the Tiger you have on left turns. I'm not, right now I'm focused on the west section second, so this is not my thing. If you guys want to revisit it, but that was just something that was brought up.
Yeah.
As far as.
And we failed to ask this question, I thought about it, but I think, I mean, I'm assuming the reason that they're going to put a temporary crossing there is that they're taking away some other locations. You know, it's an alternate crossing route, as opposed to just saying, hey, let's try it for a while.
They had to maintain their spacing. So where they're doing a construction at one of the intersections, they had to have the spacing for the crossing.
Right.
So that's why it's a temporary.
Yeah, so they're.
When they're doing Tiger, that's when they'll put that in.
Yeah.
So Nick, just going back to it, are you asking for a topic next month that we just spend a few minutes talking about this, or?
What if we put together a letter that simply said, hey, we've been talking about this at the board level, you know, without, could ODOT please enunciate the reasons, you know, why it's been opposed? And then before we go in guns blazing, at least we could, if we wanted to go up and reply to that, we could at least address their issues. Otherwise, we're just going in and saying, we want one. And they're going to come back with a whole list of reasons, whatever they are. I'd like to know what those are.
And I don't know that we've ever had that.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, to have
understanding. Like ADA is our way in as well. Because the other thing, too, is if you have the pedestrian crossing right at that zone, and it's too far for them to go down to Taggart to cross, you have a ADA, which seems to trump everything else in the universe, is you need to make it an ADA argument. Because if you need to have an ADA crossing at 2nd Street, they'll have to fork over the money for it. And so that was, I think that's the way we also have to look at the argument too. And if they have an ADA crossing, you can also put in a traffic signal for that type of stuff too.
But I think they're doing a temporary, I don't think they're gonna put ADA crossing there.
But you know, also, you have that huge pedestrian bridge that comes and funnels right at that spot. And you don't think there's going to be people with wheelchairs trying to get across? So, we'll have to go get the wheelchair brigade to go out there and protest.
Yeah.
I understand. I still go back to, like, they're going to, engineers, traffic, and all that, they're going to be operating from standards, right? And they're going to do things from standards. And that's going to be their response. They're going to have this list of things, and this is why they do what they do. And so we have to understand what those rules are in order to have an intelligent conversation with them. Right. And I think, again, we can go in guns blazing, or we can ask to say, hey, could you explain to us? And then we can attack those reasons if we want to.
Yeah.
But until we understand the reasoning, we're just firing from the hip, literally. I mean, so I think just asking, you know, sending a polite letter that says, hey, you know, this has come up repeatedly, could we, for the record, understand the state's thinking, and even the city's thinking for that matter, I mean, just, you know, so we have the facts in front of us.
So let's do this, because we're kind of discussing something. Do you know what the agenda is next?
It's a little while coming to do a Polk County commissioner update.
Okay.
And then Eunice is coming in May to do, revisit the Power Sale.
Okay.
Yeah,
so next month, do we have, as an example, maybe 15 minutes for a discussion of opportunities, and then maybe a 15-minute discussion on composing a letter and or whatever this is to kind of.
I think we could probably do the letter from this meeting, and then that way we can discuss the point from that letter.
I should provide some context too, because we haven't had letters from ODOT, so I can give you guys that.
Yeah, just educating ourselves. Other than educating on how they saw that this temporary one, because I know the other big discussion where we pushed ODOT was on the other side of the bridge. And they put that new signal right before, because they said, oh, it's going to mess up traffic, but we need to have this bike crossing.
That's what.
That's city.
I know that was city as well.
The Union Street, that was a.
But that's where we went to the state to talk to them, because that's a state thoroughfare as well. So anytime the city puts something on there, they have to give justification. And so I think that's, every time they bring this up, they always have exemptions for things that we don't want, per se. But it's always on the time that we bring up Second Street that we have issues. And I was like, it doesn't make any sense. They could do it across the bridge. They can now put a temporary one there. So it's like they really are losing their argumental structural thing. I really. So I think it would be great to have an update.
I'm saying that's one way, right? I mean, it's a one-way traffic flow. They're already stopping it anyway. It's just different. It's not apples to apples.
I think the Mark's, I would disagree. You have a good point, question. I just think to Mark's point, I just think ODOT is not asking questions about development, connectivity. I mean, their thing is standards, efficiency, and they're looking at traffic patterns. And we may like it or love, I mean, or not, but I think understanding that will probably give us a good platform to say, if we want to.
Have an intelligent conversation.
I'm full support of that letter, so.
So you were suggesting doing that offline, Mark? Or you're saying that we could talk about it here if you bring back?
Could you provide what's been provided to us before?
Revisit what we talked about over the last couple of years.
Maybe for the next meeting, bring in documentation that already exists.
Yeah.
You said something like communications, and then from that we could.
Yeah. So again, it's ultimately a discussion.
Yeah.
Right, some 15 minutes or whatever.
You don't know our group very well, Jeff.
You want me to
try to keep it rolling?
Files,
Yeah, great concept.
Well, that'd be a great one to have with Lyle here, too.
One thing on, the piggyback of this whole thing, because we're talking about a crossing or an intersection there, is do we need to fine-tune the phase part of Second Street? We talked about the funding and doing the phase one concept.
Yep.
We did that last month. I think we need to also discuss the phase two, which is the other side, from Wallace to Glen Creek. And that would incorporate into the discussion about an intersection, because we're doing a phasing concept of the Second Street crossing. And we're working on one, and we also work on two.
Yep.
So here we're presenting the idea of a Second Street crossing, not just one part. It is a connection.
Yep. Sure.
And I think we need to somewhere discussion on that.
Yeah, we can't lose sight on Second to Glen Creek and the Money Drive piece, because I don't know, I've heard anything about it.
I haven't either, but to this point, if we're going to talk about a crossing, that connectivity is, we need to let them know we have in our plan is that kind of connectivity.
Yeah.
And that, and going to the state and asking them this information, why not consider it, is because we've got this going on.
Yeah.
See where I'm going with this?
Sure.
So you can tie it into a project that we're working on, or that has been worked on, and we're moving ahead in a phasing concept to it. Give a little more teeth to it.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Because we could probably pay for those signals over there with the funds. What is that going to be? Another $1 million just for the signals?
I think that would somewhere into the agenda.
For the phase two conversation.
Yeah.
You know, as a very like off-topic side note, I got to say, as you know, we're in just food processing, right? We spend money on food processing equipment. I actually thought the budget to pave from the bridge to Michigan City looked small, because
that's a long stretch.
That's a lot of road, and I mean, we can spend $1 million
in a room this big at our facility, just, and stuff that you look at it and you can't see it. I mean, it just blows your mind. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's mind blowing what stuff costs. And so just saying, I understand what it looks like just to the average person walking around. That's a lot of money, but everything costs money. I mean, we did,
I was just more surprised that
you took your tax roll over to
77%. Yeah, I know. It's still in the city.
Okay.
No, it's amazing what you can spend even when you don't want to, just even in private. I mean, it's so,
yeah.
Those numbers are big, but in a macro, like a city sense, it doesn't look as outrageous as, I don't know, to me. I was like, man, I don't think if I put out a bid, I could pay that much for $10 million or whatever. Is it public record what Truett's, because it was a grant for part of that and stuff. I mean, what was the, on the office improvements?
I don't know if I know the total.
Anyway, it's just, you can spend it.
It's easy to spend money, is what you're saying.
It's $200 a square foot, to put up a new building, a new industrial building, depending on the scale and everything. So just start doing the math on that. I mean, that's not the city government or the state government just being foolish. That's business people trying to be as tight as they can. Stuff just costs. Just saying.
Now that we're just jumping around, we didn't ask this question either, but does ODOT, or does this go through the city of Salem, how will that be communicated to public? What they're going to do, or will it be? I don't know if you know. I'm just thinking.
They're sharing on there, but it's a public meeting.
I'm just thinking for a West Salem community that is pretty sensitive about traffic. This is an easy way to build.
I would imagine they're going to the neighborhood association with this presentation, I think Sam mentioned something that we have her scheduled for the WSBA.
Okay.
So.
What about a sign as you actually cross the bridge? Is that even a possibility?
Signage across the bridge.
Well, like say there's a future pavement construction problem. I know that you do it on a...
will have to do that. Is there, I think when it goes out to construction, they'll notice.
Is there still...
going to be under construction during a period.
Is there still a West Side paper?
Yes. Yeah. Jason has it.
Okay. Put something in there.
We'll put your email as, with questions on this project, please contact...
For all those in favor of an ad grade, contact us. We'll find that person's, the engineer's email, and then we'll put that on there and for all the residents of West Salem to
follow up.
Yeah.
All right.
People for grants. Any people for applying for grants?
So, Truett is under construction right now. Third Street is nearing completion of construction. We're looking at. New office building potentially going in off Patterson again.
Okay.
So that's another applicant. So we are talking to people.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Perfect. You're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Nice.
8:59.
So I'm reading this right, that basically a proposal is to come over the bridge into West Salem. Mm-hmm. Basically, all the industrial area, rocks, everything.
Or yes, if you didn't sign in, please make sure you sign in before you leave.
The contact, isn't it? These are the areas that if a private, or if the owner wanted to, and then jump through some hoops, they could then allow. This is not, my understanding, this is not, hey, it's free for all. Like, feel free to camp here.
All that was intended to do is say that's not